Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Tech Reformation. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank.
Okay, guys, funny thing happened on Twitter today. A few minutes ago, actually. Tim Keller does these Ask TK things. Have you guys seen these before?
Yeah, I have.
Yes.
Nope.
Okay, so he did one like 30 minutes ago. Well, okay, for Tank and anybody else who doesn't know, basically Tim Keller has a Twitter account, and he, every, you know, couple of months or whatever, he'll spend like 30 minutes, and he'll just tweet out. It was funny because he started this one with a selfie, and he was like, I'm just going to do an Ask TK real quick for the next 30 minutes. So basically, if you use the hashtag and tweet at him, he'll answer, he'll retweet your question and then answer it so that everybody can see, right? Mm-hmm. So I get back to my computer and there's like 30 tweets in my timeline. I'm like, whoa, what happened? And it was Ask TK. But one person who asked him something, it's funny who all jumps in. Michael Horton tweeted, favorite theologian and favorite cigar? Like as a question, what's your favorite theologian? What's your favorite cigar? And Tim Keller goes, Michael, I don't smoke, drink, or chew, and I don't go with girls who do. Oh, and John Calvin is my favorite. And I just thought it was really funny.
Nice.
So Tim Keller's becoming a good old Southern Baptist, it sounds like.
Well, that'd be one for the, you know, for the scoreboard, a Presbyterian becoming a Baptist.
Yeah, I doubt that that's actually happening.
Yeah, I just discovered recently he was a Presbyterian. I didn't know that.
I don't think he really talks too much about like paedo-baptism type stuff. At least I've never heard him talk about it.
I've never heard him talk about it either.
And I doubt that most Presbyterians actually do bring that up in conversation. It's just the circles we run in that have baptism True. Debates every other hour.
True. Well, and you can certainly tell he's reformed, though, at least in some...
Oh, yeah.
You know, in a lot of ways, so...
I'd like to see a baptism debate between Piper and Keller. That would be fun.
I don't know if I've ever heard him debate baptism either. I think I saw a tweet from him one time about it where he, like, tweeted a verse in Thessalonians and said, this is why I stayed a Baptist after so many years, and it just talked about faith preceding baptism.
He's got at least two or three articles on Desiring God about his views on baptism and why he's not... Why he's credo Baptist, basically.
Well, I guess it's time that we go public with our challenge to have a lively discussion with the Reformed Pubcast guys on paedo baptism.
Yes.
I'm out.
Craig and I talked about this last week after the show. You guys were not here.
I'll see you guys later.
Just kidding.
Yep.
But I mean, I'd be willing to dialogue over it.
Yeah, no, I think it needs to happen. I think those guys have put a lot of content out there, and there hasn't been a lot of people coming back with, you know, solid questions and stuff. It's kind of just been, well, this is what we think, and come along for the ride. So I think it'd be interesting to have that discussion.
So, yeah, you can follow us on our journey to Reformation, if you like, and maybe we'll have some conversation around it. That'd be fun.
This is Tech You Should Know, the part of the show where we bring you 7 tech news stories from throughout the past week that we feel are worth your consideration. The Associated Press finally lets us stop capitalizing the word internet. Is it internet with a capital I or a lowercase I? Capitalized web or not? Few debates in the history of the English language have raged more passionately. Now the Associated Press, purveyor of the AP stylebook, used by journalists for the last century to standardize mass communications, has made a pronouncement. No more will the AP insist on capitalizing either word. This week, it officially declared its allegiance to the lowercase camp. This is about time. Yeah. The thing that has probably frustrated me the most on my phone has been that it always capitalizes the word internet when I type it. Okay, it's nitpicky, but...
Yeah, that's a huge frustration for me as well. Makes me not want to get out of bed some mornings.
You're not really, serious.
But, no, I'm not serious. But it doesn't need to be capitalized, so it's good that they've changed
it's
it.
It's definitely
but
no, not a proper noun.
I don't care that much about it.
The FCC introduces broadband labels inspired by nutrition facts. The Federal Communications Commission has unveiled new broadband labels modeled after the nutrition facts label found on food products throughout the U.S. as a way to give consumers more details about their home and mobile internet service. The labels detail pricing, internet speeds, latency, data caps, modem costs, and early termination fees, among other items, in an easy-to-understand format. Currently, users have to call their internet service provider or do their own research to find out much of that information.
I had not heard about this one, and I appreciate the new information and the centralized place to get it, but I think that the format is not really good, in my opinion.
Well, this is, the design's terrible, but at least you know that you have all the information there. One step at a time.
Speaking of breakfast cereals, and while we're on a Christian podcast, do you guys know the cereal? What?
It seemed very... Okay, no, continue.
Great what segue. A transition.
Well, a friend of mine a while ago was on a holiday in the States and sent me a photo of a purple box of cereal from a company called Food for Life. And it says sprouted grain, crunchy cereal, and then in massive letters, Ezekiel 4 verse 9. And then it says, as described in the Holy Scriptures, take also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and spelt and put them in one vessel and make bread of it. Do you guys have that cereal? Have you ever eaten it?
I have no idea.
I'm assuming it's good for you because it's got scripture on the front of it. So
it's Christian cereal. It must be delicious.
Anyway, I think he was going for some kind of wow way to take, you know, scripture out of context type thing. I think that's why he sent it to me. It was a bit random. But
that's
anyway,
amazing.
Continue.
WhatsApp completes end-to-end encryption rollout. It's a security project that's taken around a year and a half to complete. But messaging giant WhatsApp has now fully implemented strong end-to-end encryption on its platform and across all mobile platforms for which it offers apps. This means that users of the latest versions of the messaging app will have their comms and media end-to-end encrypted by default. And there are a lot of WhatsApp users. Earlier this year, the Facebook-owned company announced it had passed 1 billion active users.
Wow, that's a lot.
If you want to know more about encryption, you can check out episode 27 of our show, where we talk about what it is and why it's important.
T-Mobile is launching next-gen voice calls. So if you've ever used voice over LTE calls, you've noticed how much better and clearer those calls sound. But now T-Mobile has announced a new next-gen voice technology called Enhanced Voice Services, or EVS. EVS improves reliability of voice calls on LTE in areas of weak signal, and it improves on the already excellent fidelity of voice over LTE. But what's most interesting is that EVS works regardless of whether the network you're calling supports HD or voice over LTE calls or not. T-Mobile is launching the new technology with three phones, the LG G5 and Samsung's Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge. Reddit launches its first official apps for iOS and Android. Reddit's long-awaited native mobile applications, the first ever to be built by the company in-house, have now launched. Available today for both iOS and Android, the new Reddit app will not only serve as the official means for accessing Reddit on mobile amid a sea of third-party clients, it will also replace Alien Blue, the popular third-party application the company acquired back in fall of 2014.
Are any of you Redditors?
No.
Nope.
I tried and then stopped.
Same here. It's just so ugly.
Like Goodreads?
No.
Oh, that a different kind of ugly.
I thought someone might go there. Take Goodreads and take LastPass 3.0 before the redesign. And then if you were to mate those two, Reddit would be the ugly stepchild.
How does that even work?
Yeah, it is pretty ugly, but it's incredibly functional. And I know a lot of people who absolutely love it. So
I always wanted to like it.
There's that. I just feel like I would, if I got into Reddit, it would suck my life away.
I'm downloading the app now, so hopefully the app will win me back.
I use it whenever I get interested in a certain topic that Reddit has a lot of information on. But whenever I lose interest, I stop Redditing.
Yeah, that is an excellent use of Reddit. Whenever you need to know something, it's a great place for crowdsourced information. The FBI says that the method used to unlock iPhone does not work with iPhone 5S or newer. Slowly but surely, the FBI is releasing information about the method it used to unlock Farouk's iPhone 5C involved in the San Bernardino shooting. Now that the Justice Department has dropped the case, the FBI doesn't have to disclose the mysterious method it used. First, the FBI disclosed this alternative method to some U.S. senators, and FBI James Comey gave a few more hints. According to CNN, Comey said in a speech that the method does not work on all iPhones. In particular, he said it doesn't work with iPhone 5S or the newest models, so the FBI can't just hack into an iPhone 6S using the tool it just bought. iOS 8 and later comes with encryption features that make it much harder to get access to an iPhone's content, but Farouk's iPhone was running iOS 9 on an iPhone 5C, so it looks like the tool works with iOS 9, but not with recent iPhones.
I heard recently a trick that works on any iPhone. You go up to the guy and convince him to hand you your phone unlocked. There's apparently a case where the police did this. They did social engineering and got him to hand them their phone unlocked, like he was showing them a picture to prove something.
Uh-huh.
And then they arrested him and kept the screen on without locking.
That's awesome.
And so they were able to get the data. I don't know if they were able to change the password or how they were able to keep it unlocked permanently, or if they just kept their finger on it and were like, don't mess this up. But yeah,
you could probably get in the go into the system or into settings and make it just never go to sleep, which you can't do.
Yeah, that would work. Smart.
Yeah.
People never cease to amaze me.
Yeah. And finally, this week, Audible is branching out into podcasts. The podcast and audio world has been waiting for Audible to make its big move into the space. And it's here, including original content from major publishers like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post. That long-anticipated original content has finally arrived in the form of a new channels section in the Audible mobile app. The section, currently in beta and rolling out on iOS and Android to some Audible members now, streams curated short-form audio, ranging from read-aloud versions of the New York Times articles to complete shows from PRI's The World to episodes of Charlie Rose. Beyond news outlet-specific streams, Audible is serving up its own multi-source collections, which pull in relevant stories from news outlets. The Guns collection, for instance, includes a reading of a column by Fred Hyatt about a gun-free society.
Yes.
This is a very interesting move, and I think this was basically what was speculated that Google was going to do with Google Play podcasts. Except there, the idea was that they would probably be inserting ads in between stuff, but the thing with Audible is they already have paid subscribers, so they don't need to insert ads. They just take the, you know, insert the audio from RSS streams, and as far as I know, they don't mess with the audio. They just, you know, feed it to people. They curate it. I find it very interesting. And that concludes Tech You Should Know this week. So in lieu of Tech You Should Use this week, we are going to insert a different segment, which we are entitling What Throttles My Data. So guys, you know what really throttles my data?
What's that, Derek?
What really throttles your data?
So Text Expander this week announced they were moving exclusively to a subscription service. Exclusively. Taking the downloadable apps, the Dropbox and iCloud syncing, and taking that completely away and making it only available as a subscription service that costs more per year. It's like $45 a year to subscribe to this, and when a single license before cost only $35. Now, everyone in this podcast, am probably the most for paying for like smallish utility apps like this. Like, I am so down for paying for software and supporting developers. But I can't, I can't, the thing is, a lot of developers now are starting to move to this subscription model. And I can't buy everything that's subscription, or else I am going to very quickly run out of money in recurring payments. I enjoy the ability to just buy an app, use it for as long as it stays alive on my computer, upgrading if I want to, not upgrading if I don't want to. But this does not allow me to do that. And I love TextExpander. I really do. But this really throttles my data.
I hear you. I haven't used TextExpander, so I don't really know much about it and can't comment either way on whether or not I would be a huge fan or whatever. But I've experienced a similar thing with Adobe. You guys know Adobe's deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I bought... A few years back, I bought CS4 Production Premium, which cost me about $2,500 Australian for a suite of programs. And then all of a sudden, they switched everything to subscription only. So now, whereas upgrades used to be like between $500 and $1,000, I think they're like $500 or $700 to get the latest version.
Mm-hmm.
I now have to pay subscriptions.
Yeah.
Which... just sucks, because you've paid this, in that case it's an even bigger amount, like it's a big outlay at the start to own the software, and then all of a sudden the software you have is obsolete and now you have to pay for it if you want, like, again, if you, and ongoing if you want the latest version. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, I just had a friend that, like, I went in on a tweet storm this week about this, and a friend of mine tweeted me back saying, yeah, this is exactly why I'm still rocking CS5.
Yeah.
Because I...
On principle, no one wants to shift.
Yeah, one of the comments I made was, if I keep subscribing to services like this and I lose a job, well, I have to cut my costs wherever I can until I get a new job. Then I'm completely... like, depending on how many of these apps I'm subscribed to, I'm then completely handicapped digitally from doing what I normally do.
Yes.
That's the thing.
And it's the same with Adobe, because a lot of people, like for me, I was using Adobe full time for work. And so if I had to stop using that, if I lost my job, then how do you go and, you know, how do you keep even doing what you're doing until you get new work? Do you know what I mean? You have to get new work off the back of your own, of your old work.
Mm-hmm.
You can't generate anything new in the in-between time, unless it's still part of your subscription, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ben and Tank, what do you guys think?
This is exactly what YNAB did too, and it really throttled my data as well a few months ago. And I know in your tweet storm, I was going to ask you about this. You mentioned that this is the reason you use 1Password instead of LastPass.
Mm-hmm.
Because LastPass is a subscription service as well.
Well, it's not the only reason, but it is a major reason that I haven't really considered LastPass very seriously.
Yeah.
Because I already own 1Password. I know it works on all of my devices. I know it's going to work, you know, for the foreseeable future if I don't update any software, you know. And they do very well support their apps, but, you know, it'll work as long as I need it to.
I think developers are definitely trying to figure out how to make money on this stuff. And so that's why we're seeing a lot of price models change. Like Overcast goes from freemium to patron support.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just kind of experimenting around, how can I put food on my family's table and still do this? And we don't really know yet. And the market's only getting more and more saturated by stuff. So it's harder and harder to do.
Yeah. And I totally sympathize with that, because I want to support my, you know, the developers that make my favorite apps.
For sure.
But I think Smile Software, who makes TextExpander, just went about this very poorly, because their subscription model makes complete sense for someone who is like running a tech support service where they have like lots of snippets to many different, you know, questions that they may get and those sorts of things, because you can sync them back and forth between other people as well. But for me as an individual user, I just want it on my phone and I want it on my computer and I want to sync it between them. And $45 a year is ridiculous for that kind of for just that functionality. So I'm looking into alternatives, but yeah.
One other explanation for the reason a lot of things are going subscription, I think, would be because so much is going cloud as well. And so whenever when people are hosting all their stuff on a cloud service, those are all subscription. Mm-hmm. And so now they're essentially making their users pay for that monthly cost of using the cloud. Of course, I'm sure they're bumping it a little bit more than they need to as well to make some extra money. Mm-hmm. But I think that's why we're seeing so much subscription model, because the services that they use to host are all becoming subscription models as well, as opposed mm-hmm. to just saying, let's buy these servers and let's host them in our own place.
Yeah. So, well, even then, that's a recurring cost for them, like from here till eternity.
That's true.
So, but that's true. One company that I have seen do this well would be 1Password. They actually have started 1Password for Teams and 1Password for Families that you can pay $5 a month, and you know, six people, you know, the people in your family, you can sync and organize passwords among different people, but it's optional. You could still buy the app and use it and use iCloud Sync or use Dropbox Sync. They still support the previous customers, but Text Expander just like, you know, don't care. Sense. So I feel strongly about this.
And that is what throttles my data this week. Or Derek's data, I guess.
Yep.
All right, here we go. It's time for Google Feud, Christianity Edition. We're just going to do a buzz-in round this time, so whoever buzzes in first gets the first guess. We will play until someone gets 3 points. Are you ready?
Yep.
I have two phrases this time, and I want to get to the second phrase because it's awesome. And so we're just going to do the first phrase until someone gets a right answer. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first autocomplete answer I need is Jesus Christ.
Craig.
Craig, what is your answer?
Is God.
Jesus Christ is God is true, but not one of the autocomplete answers. Derek, I heard you buzz in.
Superstar.
You are correct. That's the number one answer.
Yes.
You get 1 point for that.
Why?
That's a musical, isn't it?
The musical Jesus Christ Superstar.
It's like one of the most famous musicals going around.
Blasphemous. Is it blasphemous? I don't know. I've
possibly.
Never seen it.
I don't know.
It's semi-blasphemous, yeah. Like there's elements of the real story.
I've just heard the famous song with the same name.
One of my friends told me I wasn't allowed to go to a production of it done locally that she was in because I would find it too heretical. So,
do you guys want to hear the answers to that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The other answers are, one of them I can't read. Actually, no. It's the next one. There's one I can't read. Okay. Jesus Christ Kid is number two. I can't read that one. Jesus Christ is my blank. I'm not going to say that.
Boy?
No, friend? It's racially insensitive. Jesus Christ Lyrics. Apparently there's a song named after Jesus. I don't really understand this one. Jesus Christ Lizard. That's got to be something. Maybe I'll Google that later. Okay, and then Jesus Christ Superstar Lyrics. Jesus Christ Birthday. Jesus Christ The Apple Tree. I don't get that one either. Jesus Christ Superstar Movie. And Jesus Christ Quotes. Quotes would have been a great guess. Pretty much any person you could guess quotes would be an autocomplete. All right. Round two. And this might be my favorite Google Feud Christianity edition yet. Here we go. Round two phrase is, the rapture is.
Oh.
Craig. Not real. I'm just trying to inject good theology into Google.
Not real is incorrect.
Well, I should say not literal in terms of... Anyway, yeah. I'm currently reading Kingdom Come by Sam Storm, so I'll get back to
you. Oh, well, that's great. My wife and I are too. Okay, the rapture is... Do I have another buzz in?
Bzz. Coming.
Tank? The rapture is coming is the number one answer.
Nice. Ooh.
Good job, nice. Tank. That's 1 point for you, 1 point for Derek, and we'll do one more on this one. So does anybody else have a guess? The rapture is?
Craig.
Oh. Craig?
Painful.
Painful is incorrect.
Oh, come on. Pretty sure it would be for the people whose trucks drive into someone else's car or whatever, you know.
Well, it's only if it's the secret rapture.
Yeah, true. I'm thinking of the Left Behind rapture.
Any other guesses?
Tomorrow.
Tank says the rapture is tomorrow. That's incorrect. All right, I need, Derek, I need an answer because we have to break this tie.
Okay, all right. The rapture is coming soon. Was that already said?
It was not said.
I said coming, but.
But I will accept that because it is one of the correct answers.
Yes.
Coming was the first one, and then like coming soon is the second, or like the seventh one or something like that. Okay, the rest of the answers are the rapture is near, the rapture is a lie, the rapture is not in the Bible, the rapture is false.
Hey, I said not real. That's the same as a lie. Anyway.
But it's an autocomplete. Okay. I feel like you have to get an exact string. It's like okay. On that one. Otherwise,
like Bible quizzing. You have to get the exact, you know, the exact words, or else it doesn't count.
Sure. It's fine. We're not playing for sheep stations.
The rapture is false. The rapture is imminent. The rapture is coming soon. The rapture is BS, except it doesn't say that. The rapture is here, and the rapture is close. This has been another edition of Google Feud, Christianity Edition. Thank you for playing. Derek is the winner this time.
Woo!
Yay!
I always love that game. I think next time we do this, we got to do Cult Edition.
Ooh, that would be good.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. All right, now it's time for our main topic this week. So this week we're going to talk about ride sharing. A couple days ago, weeks ago, I don't remember, The Verge ran an article in their First Click series, which is basically, you know, the first thing you should read today, titled, Why Own a Car When You Can Share One? And so there's a lot of tech startups and tech companies that are trying to basically redefine car ownership and especially transportation in general. And so, you know, you can think of companies like Uber or Lyft, and there are many others, Sidecar is one of them, that are much smaller, where basically it's like a crowdsourced taxi. So anybody can volunteer. I think Lyft started the crowdsourcing thing first, but you know, you pull up the app on your phone and you can ask for basically a taxi cab, pretty much is what it is. But it's another person who's volunteered their own car. I think for a long time, they didn't even own their own cars, those companies. They just let you use your own car. And then they have varying levels of services where one time we used, if you go from an airport, you can use Uber Black, where it's like a fancier car, but it's also more expensive. Anyway, and then the other day on Tech Reformation, we talked about Google Maps adding ride-sharing services prices to their Maps app. And so ride sharing is definitely something that is on the rise, up and coming, pretty big new technology. And this particular article talks a lot more about services like Zipcar, where basically it's like a hyper rental car. So like for really, really short periods of time, or I guess regular occasions, I guess. Like, can you do a Zipcar to work every day or something, Tank?
I don't know. I think, but the idea is like it's a subscription model, you know, the type of thing that throttles our data. And then you can just say you reserve a car for whenever you want it. And then you go pick it up and drive it to wherever you want to. So I think the idea would probably be something so regular, like a daily job, you'd be able to get to by a different method.
Yeah, so I guess it's not the time. It's more the fact that you reserve it for a common time of day or time of week or something. And there's some increased frequency there. So anyway, a lot of these models that have caused The Verge to write this article that, hey, we don't need to own our cars anymore because we can just rent someone else's car from them and use that, and it's sufficient. So to kick this one off, could you guys ever see yourselves not owning a car? Because I just can't imagine that.
Well, for me, I live in a suburban enough area. Like, I don't live in a big city like New York. If I did live in New York, I would probably not want to own a car because driving there, like New York City proper, because driving in there is just awful. And the subway's fine. But in more suburban areas, I think this probably applies less because you do have to, like, things are farther out. You can't just walk. Public transportation isn't as good. I would not mind not owning a car. But yeah, I don't think we can considering our location.
Yep. I'm in the same position where I don't like driving. I would give up my car in a heartbeat if that was, possible. So, and just like, you don't have to worry about maintenance or oil or any of that whole stuff that comes along with cars. And some people really enjoy, but I don't. And I can see myself doing it in like 6 months, because I'm going to Tokyo and they apparently have the most amazing subway system in the world or so. So that's one of the things I've told Michelle I'm most excited about going, is that I don't have to own a car anymore. I can just hop on a really cool train and be zoomed around to my destination while I read or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, why wouldn't I just get a self-driving car? And then, I mean, I guess it doesn't fix the maintenance issue you brought up, which is a good point. I'd be really interested in a cost comparison between, you know, one of these services like Zipcar and like what you actually pay on maintenance. I know the article has that, but more of a detailed survey of how it actually fleshes out in someone's life over the course of time.
Yeah. You said the article has that. Just what it shows is, I guess, the AAA's estimated driving cost is $8,600 a year. And the guy using Green Wheels is his example, and he pays $2,000 a year for his ownership of the car for the 12,000 for the 12 months. And that 2,000 included fuel and something else. So that's AAA's estimation, which includes things like depreciation, tires, licenses, and insurance, and all that stuff, as opposed to this service, you just pay for the service and your gas. So,
yeah, I'm looking at the AAA infographic right now, and I'm glad you brought that up. The reason I asked for more of a study over, like, say, 30 years or something, I know that that's unreasonable right now because this is so new, but there's got to be a way that these companies are making money on this, otherwise they wouldn't do it. And they still have to buy the cars themselves, right? And so maybe they get those at a really, really discounted rate because they can buy them in bulk or because they get some sort of commercial pricing or something. That's fine, but they still have to pay, you know, let's say 10 grand for every car that they're able to rent out. You know, and so they've got to offset that cost with how much you pay them. And they still do have all those maintenance costs, right? I mean, they don't offloaded that on you because that's one of the selling points of the service. And so anyway, that was my point, is I'd love to see somebody do a research study on this in the life of a couple of actual people.
I think the reason that it works and doesn't work for an individual but does work for a company like this, in the article he mentioned that on average, an American car is only active for 1 hour out of the 24-hour day. So we lose a lot of that money is being wasted because we're not using it, versus the idea for these companies that the cars are going to be almost in constant use because it's spread over a lot of people. So that's how the service gets paid for versus costs.
That's a good point. It's a very interesting model and business to be in, I would think. I'd imagine it takes a lot of money to start something like this, though, because you got to have all the capital to buy all the cars.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they rent their cars somehow. I don't know. Anyway, really interesting business.
Be cool, though. Like, yeah, I own 100 cars. A few Lexuses and...
yeah,
other fancy names, BMWs.
Yeah, I guess they would have to have a lot of different models too, because, you know, consumer preference, like everybody's car, there's almost as many kinds of cars as there are kinds of people in any given place, you know. There's just a lot of different skews as far as cars go. And so if there's some factor of
what color one thing.
And what make and model and shape and size and...
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing on that really also made me think this would be a cool service was the fact that, like, I don't own a truck, and I don't ever have a desire to own a truck. But oftentimes I'm like, man, I wish I had a truck right now so I could deal with this. Yeah. So if you subscribe to this service, like, I don't want to pick up my normal car, I'll take the truck so I can go haul off leaves or whatever.
That's fair. You definitely can rent trucks from services like U-Haul and stuff like that. They don't, I mean, not just the big moving trucks, but they also have like a regular, you know, two-door or four-door truck like you're talking about owning. I wonder, the comparison on the rates might be a lot higher, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see that too.
Look into that. I appreciate that you told me.
Yeah. Yeah. We have had to move recently, twice in the last year, and so I've done a little bit of research into that. Anyway, go ahead.
Is one of the barriers to this likely to just be convenience, like waiting, having to wait to get picked up or whatever? Like, to, you know, at the moment I can just literally walk 10 seconds and I'm in my garage and I can get in my car and go wherever I want. I don't have to organize it. I don't have to
in 10 seconds?
Use an app on my phone. In my garage. In my garage. However you want to say that.
All right, cool.
You're just laughing at my accent, or
is that... No, I just love it. I'm not laughing at the accent. I love your accent. I think that's probably the number one reason people listen to this show is because of your accent.
I really hope not. If that's the best thing going on for us, that's a big problem. No, but I'm just thinking, like, I don't know heaps about how ride sharing works, but I'm imagining that, like, I avoid taxis like the plague. The only time I'll use a taxi is when I'm in a third world country and driving will kill me, or I am going to the airport or being picked up from the airport and my family can't, you know, usually someone in my family would drop me off or pick me up, but if that's not possible, then I'll get a taxi to the airport so I don't have to leave my car there. But for me, that's a convenience thing because I don't like having to call someone, wait for someone to arrive, and then they usually smell like cigarettes. And like the drivers often do, which is a bad stereotype. But I don't know, like, is that, do you think that's a factor, or do you think people will just kind of look at the costs and go, well, stuff the little bit of extra inconvenience, it's worth it?
Well, I would think that would be one of the main parts of the service, is you would have to, I mean, the schedule would have to be exact. Otherwise, people are beginning to be late to stuff and it becomes infeasible for them to do it. So it's like... Mm-hmm. You know, if you're concerned you're not going to get your car on time, I would think that that's like the number one reason people would stop using something like this. So they would have to nail that.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, sometimes you can't plan ahead and know at 2 p.m. today I'm going to need my car. Like, is that not a factor or not? Like, say you're working and you work past lunchtime and you need to quickly go and grab something to eat away from your office and you need to go now, you can't book it in for 10 minutes time. Or when my wife goes into labor and I need to get her to the hospital as quickly as possible, I mean, I could call an ambulance, but then I got to pay ambulance cover costs or you know, insurance gap or whatever it is. Like, we are insured, but we'd have to pay the excess or whatever it is, and so it'd be far simpler to just get in the car and go when it happens. And if you don't have the car because you've committed to ride sharing, then that's not a possibility. So I guess I can see the benefit of it from a economic standpoint, but I think personally I'd be hesitant to go into it because I can think of multiple situations where I like the convenience of doing things whenever I want rather than having to book times in. And even if people are on time, you still got to book it ahead and go, I want it now, you know, in 10 minutes. Or got to be realistic. They can't teleport to where you are, so it's going to take some time.
True. We should also mention that these services aren't everywhere yet either. So I've mentioned Zipcar a lot. I think they're probably one of the bigger ones. And you can go to their website and figure out where they are. They're not in Memphis, so I couldn't use it even if I wanted to. Green Wheels, which Tank mentioned earlier, and it's in the article, is like, I think it's only in Europe right now. So, man, I mean, they're definitely. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, none of us could use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and anybody who's listening to this in the United States couldn't use it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a new thing, so it should expand. Do you think that there are any moral implications for ride sharing in general or services like this in specific? And even like crowdsourced taxis like Uber? It's okay if the answer is no, by the way.
As in, like, you don't know who the driver's going to be, and so it could be, like, they don't have to be. I don't know much about Uber, but are the drivers, like, certified drivers, or are they just random people who put their car on Uber, like, subscribe themselves to the service? I don't know anything about how it works.
No, I think
give me a rundown.
With Uber specifically, I'm pretty sure there's an extensive, like, you at least have to have a driver's license. You cannot just, like, it's not just any person can volunteer their car. You, like...
Yeah, but do you have to have, like, a police check or a screening of any kind? Or can you be, like, a serial killer and who has a car and a driver's license and you can pick people up and take them for a ride?
That I don't know. And they definitely have had issues with that in the past. Like, I remember a few weeks ago there was an article about... Some guy had written this post online, and he had just witnessed or heard a shooting or something like that, and then got into an Uber and was asking his driver about if he had heard about anything about it or if he knew anything about it, and it was the driver who was the person who did the shooting.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's like that kind of stuff definitely happens and is mm-hmm. terrifying.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens with taxi services too. I mean, I'm sure not all taxi drivers have clean noses.
Yeah, that's true. But
yeah, there is an accountability system, though. I mean, you rate drivers, and the drivers rate the passengers. So there is a
It's hard to rate them once they've killed you, though.
Well, yeah, there is that slight little problem, but for the most part, as long as you get that rating and before you're dead, then.
Have you ever heard the maxim about...
Can you imagine the guy, the person's taking you out to some backwoods somewhere to do away with you, and you're like, no, I'm going to rate you negatively if you do this.
Yeah, but Craig, have you ever heard that the maxim about, like, trust and security, or, like, trust and, it's trust and security.
I don't know, run it past me and I'll let you know.
Well, you know, it's like if, like on the internet, with e-commerce specifically, if sites like Amazon were hacked regularly and like people were losing their credit card information or their identity was getting stolen or something like that, then everyone would know about it really quickly and people would stop using Amazon. So it's like there's a level of it's bad for Amazon if they get hacked, and so they invest in security so that people will trust them.
Yeah, that's
great. And it's
the
same way for Uber. If this was happening regularly enough, everyone would know about it and no one would use Uber and Uber would cease to exist.
Yeah. So
it's like there's
I'm
this weird cycle there.
It'd be good to have some kind of, to know what their screening process is. I'm not saying they don't have one. They probably do. You know.
Yeah. It's a good question. I went on their website to find out, but it just says become a driver and I clicked it and it doesn't tell me anything until I give it information, which I'm not yet wanting to do. So
I just, binged Uber death. Uber space death, and the first thing to pop up was the opposite situation where two teenagers apparently killed the driver, and the time on these articles are 1 hour ago, 11 hours ago, and 6 hours ago.
Wow.
So the conversation we're having is actually very the opposite happened today, apparently.
Wow.
So that's that crazy.
You're saying that people are... It's not that Uber drivers are killing people. It's that people are killing Uber drivers.
This one instance. Okay. And I couldn't find much else. I think there was one manslaughter. I guess the wreck happened and the passenger died. But I haven't seen anything where any Uber crimes by the driver. So
the other thing is, Ben, I guess like the e-commerce thing is, this might sound weird, but it's only money. Every time you get into a car, you're actually putting your life in someone's hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas your financial stuff is super inconvenient and very annoying, and it could potentially ruin some aspects of your life in terms of financially, but you'll still have your life at the end of the day. It's not a life or death situation. Whereas sometimes, yeah, like just like I said, just being in a car, I think it was a Francis Chan, like a Thinking Crazy Love, Francis Chan mentions that everyone has faith. He can tell everyone has faith. I think it is. I think that's the illustration, because we're all willing to get in a car and drive on a highway at 100 miles an hour, 100 kilometers an hour in Australia, and assume or have faith that the people on the other side of the road won't jerk their arm to the left or right and smash straight into you. But that's a reality. It's a possibility that every time you get in a car, something could go wrong. And I figure every time you get in a car with someone you really don't know, and you're just saying, hey, take me here, then I guess the risks go up a little bit. Anyway, we don't need to stay on this for a long time, but for a long time, that was a terrible sentence structure. But yeah, that would be my... That and the convenience thing would be the two things, but that would be the moral one that would kind of make me go, don't know if I'm down with that idea.
A little more research has said that they carefully screen applicants and immediately disqualify anyone convicted of a crime in the past 7 years.
Oh, wow. That. There you go.
But yeah, I can put this, the title is by NBC Los Angeles, Risky Ride, Who's Behind the Wheel of Uber Car?
Wow. Derek just linked an article, comprehensive list of incidents involving Uber and Lyft.
This is a website, not an article, but it's constantly updated with various incidents of people, you know, doing bad things.
Alrighty, well, there's that.
Who'sdrivingyou.org.
I'll put that in the show notes for anyone who's interested. If you use Uber on a regular basis, I probably wouldn't look at it so that you don't develop paranoia, but... I'm guessing like the percentage on things happening like this has to be very small. I mean, for the
that's
number
what
of
I was saying
who,
earlier.
Yeah. So while there are things that happen, I wouldn't worry too much about hopping into an Uber or a Lyft or something like that.
There are general things that happen in our societies and cultures that deter us from acting according to our nature more often. Things like police, things like jail. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we shouldn't have to prove total depravity to anyone because all of our societies are set up to defend us against it. But, you know, anyway, that's the reason that there are checks and balances in like the American government, for example. But that's beside the point. So one of the other aspects that this particular topic brought to my mind, and maybe you will all think this is weird, but I don't know, this is how my brain works, is, you know, the concept of sharing our things, and especially with ownership, you know, if I own my car and yet I let you use it, makes me think about how the early church behaved. In Acts 2, where it says, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. It's very possible I've heard more sermons on that passage of Scripture than any other, believe it or not. But it did make me think of specifically this, having everything in common, selling their possessions and giving to those in need. Which the immediate context says is each other, right? The early church operated in such a countercultural way that they, in some sense, didn't regard themselves as owning things, but they regarded themselves as so collectivist that if Tank needs something and I can sell something to pay for it, then I will do that. And that's really attractive to me. I want to see the church today, my church specifically, and maybe you guys would give this a hearty har, I want to see that happen today. Whatever that means, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned to you guys earlier that I think it's so weird when people go from this passage to communism or socialism, because it's clearly voluntary and clearly the government is not involved in any way. So there's just no parallel. But, you know, they are incredibly countercultural, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that there's a difference between doing this voluntarily and doing it as mandated by the government. I got into a really frustrating conversation earlier in the week with some Christians. I know it was on Facebook, and they were Bernie Sanders supporters, and I was trying to be like, but how are you, you know, doing that when you're a Christian? Anyway, I just think the power in this, like the thing about the situation in Acts 2 is that people are doing this because they realize they're part of a community they don't deserve to be part of. The things they have aren't really theirs anyway. It's all from God. It's all because of grace. And therefore, they are willing to hold what they have loosely and use it for the benefit of others, or allow other people to use it to benefit from it as well. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's a fantastic thing. We should definitely strive towards that as Christians and try to operate in that way as much as we possibly can. But I think that is very different to the government sort of taking control of people's possessions and saying we're going to redistribute them in some way to try and sort of have their own influence. And because then the thing always is someone has to manage that, and whoever's managing it ends up with more than everyone else.
So now let's move into recos. Derek.
For my reco this week, I want to show you all the Cookie Monster Apple ads. if you haven't seen them, I love them so much. I am a big fan of the Muppets, and while Cookie Monster is not technically part of the Muppets, he is a Muppet, and you know, the same kind of humor. But Apple did these really cute iPhone 6S ads starring Cookie Monster waiting for his cookies to get done in the oven, and it's adorable and hilarious. And I also recommend the behind the scenes as well, because that is also really funny, where we learn the Cookie Monster wishes he had eyelids.
I'll have to watch them.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I've only seen one, but that one was good. I didn't know there were more. So my recommendation is a board game that Michelle and I have been playing recently. It's called Forbidden Desert. And so what's special about this board game, most board games are competitive, everybody against everybody. Well, I just recently got into cooperative board games, so it's everybody against the game. And I enjoy that much more, because I'm too competitive, and I don't often enjoy the competitive nature that comes out of me, and I much enjoy games where we're working as a team. And so Forbidden Desert, we have a blast. It's a different game every time. There's different roles, and essentially you're trying to escape the Forbidden Desert alive, and you have to find stuff and get back to your ship. And it's a very intense game, and we either lose by one move or we barely win. And when we win, it is very satisfying. And so it's a great board game to help you work as a team rather than to trash talk. So check it out if you're a board game person.
And I would like to recommend Giphy Capture, which is a Mac app. There might be one on Windows. I don't know, because I don't have a PC. But Giphy Capture, I saw it today, and it is just a really great little screen cap app that turns it into a GIF made by Giphy, the great GIF website. And I'm going to post on Twitter the GIF that I made of you guys doing loony things in just a moment. So if you missed that by the time you hear this, go check it out, because these guys are goofballs, and so am I. And if you'd like to connect with us, you can join our Slack channel at slack.techreformation.com, and you can be cool like David McCookie or Tyson Bowman or Calvinist Batman or Brad Bayenhoff or Craig Jackson or Sean Fuentes or Chris Ambrose. Yeah, those guys, they're pretty cool.
pretty sweet dudes. And you can also follow us on Twitter or check out our Facebook and share and like our posts and get them out to more people.
You can also visit our website, techreformation.com, search for past shows and topics there.
And lastly, you can email us at ask@techreformation.com. Feedback, questions, comments, whatever. We'd love to hear them.
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network. You can check out their website link in the show notes or the master iTunes feed.
We are using it by special permission of the amazing, the one and only, the phenomenal Matthew Parker. You can find him on SoundCloud and iTunes. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Okay, pause. I need you guys to be as expressive as possible for the next 3 seconds. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Wow, this is amazing. What are we being expressive about?
No, like, move your arms around.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay, now do it.
Welcome to okay, that's the great. Muppet Show.
Yay! There's no sound, though. All right, awesome. That worked. Thank you.
What
for? Oh, you're taking screen caps, aren't you?
That will be important for my reco.
I think he's making an animated GIF of us.
Oh man, you guys look so stupid right now.